no matter what's going on, we know the one that controls life. And I love that song. That song was when I was, the day that I went up to the mountains and just spent some time alone with God. That song, it was a very windy day, and that song was actually in my heart while I was out in the mountains. Just kept going through my mind that no matter what the day looks like, no matter what struggles we're facing, God's always in control. And that's just an encouraging thought to have. We're going to be in Nehemiah this morning again. I, of course, am very thankful to have visitors and family in and everything. This message this morning, though, is going to be very pointed at our church family. And I'm going to say this to kind of start out. My goal is not to be pinpointed towards any particular people or person or anything. I pray that if it does come across that way, that you'll show some grace, because that is not typically my style. But going to really share my heart and burden that I have for the church here. And started last week and will continue again probably one more week. Spend another week in Nehemiah after this morning. But we started going through the book of Nehemiah and discussed how Nehemiah was, he had found out that Jerusalem was lying in waste and the city walls had been broken down and the gates had been burnt. And of course, for any city back in that day, that was not a good thing. You needed walls, you needed defense. And so Nehemiah was very burdened for the state of Jerusalem. And he decided that he needed to do something about it. And so first off, we saw that he prayed. But then second, when God gave him the opportunity, he presented his desire to the king. And Nehemiah then also was bold enough to ask the king to write letters to the keepers of the king's forest that they would really provide the resources for them to be able to do the job they needed to do and to build the city back up. And I love here Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. It says that the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And so we see that there with Nehemiah 2, 8. And so we're going to continue on with the story of Nehemiah and see how what is happening in Nehemiah kind of relates to us here in this church. And again, going to be presenting some principles we see from Nehemiah and using it for us to follow. I want to remind you, the goal is not necessarily to cover every single verse, every single chapter of Nehemiah, just looking at those key principles for us. So we left off in Nehemiah chapter 2 last time. We're going to be in verse number 12 starting out. And as last week, I'm going to read a verse and make a couple comments and go along as the Lord has led. And verse number 12, "And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon." And so Nehemiah spends some time going out, and he takes a couple men with him, and he goes out and he just kind of surveys what's going on and surveys what kind of state the city is in. And at this particular point, he doesn't really share any vision with even these men, but he went around and just kind of let himself see what needed to be done. But we also see that in all of this, he had a vision from God. It says there that God had put some things on his heart. And so this wasn't just something that was coming from his heart or just, hey, some list that he came up with. He wasn't pushing his goals. What he planned on doing was something that God had laid on his heart. And as I started to mention last week, that was my goal when I went up to the Wichita Mountains a few weeks ago, was just really to get alone with God and see what God has for us here at this church. Because listen, there are 1,000 different ideas when it comes to church and what the church can do, but I don't really care what other churches are doing or not. I praise the Lord, we're independent Baptist church, and so we're able to do things as God leads us. We see in Revelation, every church has their own strengths, their own weaknesses, and so that's advantageous to us. Nehemiah went around the city And he had already had a little bit of a burden, but he got an even stronger burden because he's seeing the city with his own eyes and he's getting some direction from God about what has to be done. And again, that's why I got into the mountains, because we see that Nehemiah had a vision and he had a purpose. He was going for a particular reason. Purpose is what gives meaning and direction to everything that Nehemiah would do. His purpose, we actually see in verse 17. And we'll mention verse 17 in greater detail later, but we're going to go ahead and read it right now. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. And here's his purpose behind it, that we be no more a reproach. He had a goal. Hey, I'm not just building the walls because I want to build the walls. He has a strict desire of, hey, I don't want to be a reproach anymore. Here's kind of his mentality. This looks bad. Jerusalem is the city of God and it's lying in waste. That does not give a good testimony to God. And that's kind of his purpose here behind all of this. And I want to urge you that we have a purpose here at West Beach Baptist Church. We don't just meet up so we can spend some time together or warm up a building, or, you know, just because there's, you know, hey, we're bored and have nothing to do on a Sunday. I know many of us could find other things to do on a Sunday. So that's not really our purpose. Okay, I believe our purpose and the reason God has West Beach Baptist Church here in Duncan is so that we would bring glory to God by loving God and loving people. And that is something I have pushed since the very beginning. One of the first messages I preached here was that we are to love God and love people. I believe we are able to accomplish those things by putting in place what I'm going to call some core values, some principles that are really going to drive our church to love God and love people. And I kind of summarize that up, and Brother Michael put up the summary of the core values there, so you can kind of read it as I go. But we are to bring glory to God by preaching the word, lifting high the name of Jesus, seeing people saved, seeing people discipled, providing a place of good godly fellowship, and encouraging people to live a godly life and to walk daily with God. That is how we are to strive to bring God glory. And so that thought should be what drives us to do the work needed to be done here in Duncan. Not just the one-time projects, but the day after day, week after week, ministering of nursery or cleaning or junior church or teaching or greeting visitors or encouraging people, or the men's and ladies and widows fellowships. All of that statement right there should be the driving force behind why we do it. To bring glory to God by loving God, loving people, and doing those things that we see there. I'm going to jump back real quickly to an aspect where we saw here at the beginning that Nehemiah, he says, I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. He took some men with him. And let me say that I am very thankful for the men of this church. Now, Nehemiah didn't tell these men what God was doing at this point. But God has, in my life and in this ministry over the last little while, has started developing a couple men that I can really start to lean on for advice and share vision and ideas with them before I really ever bring it to the attention of the church. And yes, I'm the leader of the church, but this church just can't rise on me. When you look at the Bible, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Throughout the book of Acts, you see them going out in pairs. Many times, sometimes more than that. God's design was never that man would do it alone. In fact, we see with Moses and other times in the Old Testament that the leader was encouraged to lean on others to be lifted up. And I've tried to maintain pretty open communication with all the men and with the church in general. I try to let many people know what's kind of going on in my mind. And I don't think that will ever stop, but I have two men in my life now that I'm starting to lean on a little bit more for encouragement spiritually and to really bounce ideas off of, because, you know, those of you that know me know sometimes I can get a little gung-ho. An idea will pop in my head and boom, I'm going. And so it's good for me to kind of bounce ideas off of someone and to make sure that there's some soundness to it and not just me being crazy. And it doesn't necessarily need to be my wife all the time. And so God has brought, again, two men into my life in this church that they have a desire to be involved in the ministry. And use that as a part of their life. And I'm not trying to leave anybody out by any stretch, but Jeremiah and Brian have been a big help to me and a big encouragement. And I'm going to start to lean on them and bounce ideas. I've had some conversations with them leading up to these messages over the past couple weeks. And they're not assistant pastors or anything of that, but they're just going to help me as we continue to follow God and as we work the daily part of the ministry. They're going to be, I believe, a huge asset. And again, that's not to leave anyone out, because I'm very thankful for each and every one of the people in this church. It's each and every one of us that makes this church run, and really all of us are needed to be able to make the ministry work. And so I'm thankful for those. And we have, of course, a good deacon, and Lord willing, we'll vote on another deacon beginning of March, but we have a good deacon in Tim, and just some great men. And I'm thankful for Brother Danny. And none of these guys really want me pulling attention to them. I guarantee you that. But Danny has been a godsend in my life and a great friend. And so I'm very thankful for the members of this church and the men of this church. Because, listen, the more I grow and the more I understand the Bible, God never intended for us to work the ministry alone. And I can't do it alone. My main focus is God's word and prayer. And, of course, there's other things, but I can't do everything that needs done around here. Thankfully, last week I was feeling better, wasn't dealing with all the sinus junk, and so I was able to tackle some projects around here, but we've got a lot more things to do. And not just projects, but some week-in, week-out things that I'm going to mention this morning. So Nehemiah goes along here, and let's look at verse 13. He starts to see the despair that everything is in. Chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned." And so he's looking at the wall and just all the despair that's going on. And listen, we've got some things that need to be tackled. And listen, is everything we're going to be looking at the top of our priority list? No. But as I stated last week, okay, God has been so good and we've accomplished a lot in the last almost 3 years, but I don't want to take 3 more years to do it all. We don't need to take 3 more years to do it all. Some things you may wonder why I feel they need to get done. And I encourage you, if that's the case, you come up and ask me. Sometimes we can get upset and go, "I don't know why the preacher wants to have this done or why that needs done that way." Well, just ask. I've got my reasons. And I'll gladly walk you through those. And so we need to get some things done for multiple reasons. Last week, we talked a little bit about plowing our field. We want God to bless, and we believe God's going to bless, but we've got to be ready for it. And so some of the key things that need done with that is we've got to seal around the building. That's got to get done to prevent more water damage coming in. And then as soon as that's done, we've got to get the team room done. We're praying that God will bless us with teenagers. And listen, I'm going to say this real quickly. That is a big prayer request. Because here's why. I talk to a lot of pastors, and there are churches that are running 60 to 100 people, and they've got 6-7 youth in their youth group. Youth groups are not a big thing anymore. There are not a lot of teenagers in church, and they need church. We've got, I praise the Lord, we've got 10 children in our children's department. Guess what? They're going to be teenagers one day. McKinsley's almost there. I teased her when she's 12, she's out of the house. But don't think I'll be able to get by with that. But we need to get the teen room done so we actually have a place for teenagers. Of course, with that, there's flooring that needs replaced there. And then in the other empty classroom, we've got a trim in the auditorium. We need a door on the nursery and water to the nursery. We had shut off the water when we were tearing out the old ice machine, and so now we got to hook the water back up. There's just a lot of different things. Of course, the vent hood in the kitchen and finish some trim work. We've got a guy I'm waiting to hear back from with the vent hood. Different things like that. I'll say this. you're wondering, you want something to do and you got two hands. There's some pieces to the benthood that have that wonderful protective film on them that need ripped off. So if you show up early to church and need something to do, have at it. One of the things I'd like to do is get this fenced area out here suitable for kids. Give them a little safe place outside. We developed a game room for them. You know what it's like. Parents are fellowshipping and kids, you know, are going to be kids. And they need a place to go where they're not running around bowling over church members. And then we need a new sign that reflects our church times and everything. And then lighting for that sign, which Brother Tim and I have been talking about. And going to work on that. Then there's some things that just need done to make God's house look better. And then also for safety reasons, of course, we want to paint and update some lighting and get some daylight sensors on some outside things. Replace some ceiling tiles. And I know I'm not just trying to give you some laundry list, but that's what it is, essentially. We need the security cameras put up. I've got them in my office just waiting to be put up. I know at this point you're probably thinking, well, why haven't you done it yet? Because it needs more than one man to do it. And that's what it is a lot of times. You just need an extra pair of hands. And then there are some things that just need done to get them done and not have them hanging over our head. Of course, we need new carpet in here. That would be a blessing. We need a drop ceiling because right now we're heating and cooling all the everything that we don't need to be heating and cooling. I'm not going to go through everything, but I've got a list of things that we need to accomplish. And you might sit there and go, well, that's a lot. Yes, and I can't do it all. And several of these things I've kind of mentioned before, and I'm thankful for those that have given their time in the last 2 months. We've gotten a lot of things crossed off the list. And I'm thankful for those that have come over the last couple of years and just really done a lot. And I praise the Lord, we can park the church van in the shop now. That was not something you couldn't even step in the shop a couple of years ago. But I want to talk about something a little bit more important, because it's not all just, oh, we need this done. There's some ministry things that we need help with. There's some weekly things around here that some help with would be great. And some of it may seem simple and everything. And I've been doing it so far, but if others would help kind of pick up in these areas, it would allow focus to be on other things. And so I would love for someone to be able to refill the tracks and the devotions when they come out and when the tracks are down, be able to fill those up, and someone that would be able to handle getting the songs and announcements ready for the screen. And I would love it if someone would take over Facebook. I do not like social media. I'm not a big fan of it. I get on there to post some things on the church, but somebody that has a little more care for social media and Facebook would be great to be able to take over the church page. And then it's becoming that time of year where lawn care is coming up. I know Brother Gary just rolled his eyes at that one. Brother Danny, Brother Gary, and I, we've mowed this property. We know it's not easy to mow. It takes a full day every week when the grass is growing to get this place looking right. Or two. And we got a couple things we're going to do to kind of help with the weed eating and different things. But going to need help with that. In fact, I've got one today that somebody could be a blessing to. And Miss Leela commented and asked, you know, I told her that this is there for a reason. Church has this lovely little leaf blower. This thing works great when it works. A couple weeks ago, I went to get it started to blow off the ice melt off the back porch, and it would not start. I replaced the spark plug. I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I be honest with everybody? I don't mind doing stuff like this, but my desire is to be in God's Word. And my desire is to be there. There are a lot of times my phone rings, people needing advice, counseling, different things of that nature. People to be able to do stuff like this. So you guys can rock, paper, scissors who gets to take this home. But if somebody wants to take that home and get that thing starting again, that would be a blessing. So it's ready for springtime. Again, I'll say this. I do appreciate the willingness of everyone to work, okay? Anytime we have a work day, a lot of people show up and pitch in and things of that nature. And I appreciate that. But with what we're trying to accomplish here, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to ask for more. I'm going to have to ask for more availability so that we can get... And I've tried to be cautious with some of that. And I'll say a little bit more about that here in a minute. Another ministry that you can be active in is prayer. And always pray. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, we see the Lord saying to pray for laborers for the harvest. And that was really one of the only prayer requests he actually gave the church, was to pray for laborers. And so it's great to pray for laborers for our church, great to pray for laborers throughout the world. But I encourage you to pray for laborers and then witnessing. We all have opportunities and an obligation, according to Scripture, to share Jesus with others. And we need to take advantage of those. Of course, we've got our children's department, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing with Junior Church and the Kids Club on Wednesday nights. And we've added this year doing some kids activities every couple months. And you may wish more was being done, but of course, I'm not big into programs. I want people to come just because church is happening and everything. So I encourage you, invite kids to Junior Church. Invite kids to the Wednesday night Kids Club. I'm going to say this politely as I can. Don't wish for more when you aren't doing anything to help it grow now. Eventually, we're going to need someone to teach a younger kids class on Sunday mornings, kind of 3-year-old through kindergarten. That would be a blessing, kind of take some weight off of Junior Church with the big age range there. And then as we grow, we'll eventually need a teen class teacher. And God may provide that as we grow, but maybe somebody's sitting right in here already. And so just pray about that. There's a couple things we want to do this year to really get involved in the community. One of them is actually sitting on our property right now, and it's called the Blessing Box. And I know times are tough, okay? I get what a carton of eggs costs, all right? I understand that burden. But I would like to start taking a monthly budget from the missions fund to go towards that Blessing Box, and we'll discuss that in the business meeting at the beginning of March, but I believe that needs to be something, because here's the thing. I'm here during the week, and I see how many people pull in and check that thing, and we have people from the community come and help fill it up too. I know some church members help from time to time, and I praise the Lord for that. But we have dozens of cars throughout the week that pull onto this property and grab things out of that Blessing Box. And so I would love for someone that is their weekly responsibility. They go out, they check it, they refill it, maybe put together some care packages from the church in there, whatever the case might be. But I'd love to take advantage of that blessing that's sitting right there in front of us. Another one is I'd like to start doing a Bible table at some community events. I need someone that can kind of keep an eye out for community events that we can put a table at and have some Bibles have a label on the inside that says this Bible was donated by West Beach Baptist Church, and have a couple people man the table and answer questions and make sure people have a Bible. And you guys know my heart with this. I've never pushed advertising our church, because it's not about our church. Our desire is to pull people to the truth and lift Jesus high, and Jesus will end up drawing people to himself. And so in the end, we're going to need people to donate money for Bibles or pull it from the missions fund, which means then you got to give to missions. But that is our goal and everything. Of course, we're going to start dealing with some topical messages on Sunday morning that are going to be very pointed to teaching you Bible principles and teaching you how to take the Bible and use it in your life. And then we're also going to be updating how we do some things in the office to help kind of streamline some accountability and hopefully help with help some things run smoother and everything. We just want to stay accountable in everything that we do. But continuing on here in Scripture, look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. So Nehemiah has had this vision. He's had this burden. Verse 17, he says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Okay, we read that. Then verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. Okay, I'm gonna stop right there before I read the rest of the passage. But he presented the vision. He presented what God did for him. And I've tried to do that. And of course, some of that will still be sprinkled in the next message and throughout the rest of this. But one of the things is when we get all these projects done, I would love to do an open house Sunday where we just encourage people to come in and see what God's done. But then here's what we see, the end of verse 18. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And this is the key. We've already talked some about it. But if we want this church to fulfill its purpose, then it takes each and every one of us being involved and being loving towards people and loving God all throughout the week. It's not just a Sunday deal. The church does not need Christians that are just great Christians on Sunday, and then they go out into the workplace and live exactly how they want to live and do what they want to do without any thought towards God. The church needs Christians that are on fire 7 days a week. And we must be a people that are loving God and loving people day in, day out, in your workplace, out in the community, everywhere we go. The only way we're going to be a church that is growing and on fire for God is if I and you as individual church members are growing and on fire for God. And we talked a lot about that Wednesday with the church at Laodicea. And I encourage you, if you weren't here, go back and listen to that one. But we see that he presented the burden and they said, let's do this. And so here's where the hard part for me comes. Because I try hard not to fill the calendar with work days. I try not to impose on people by seeing what they're doing and try to get things done, because I understand everybody has a life to live. Unless your brother Brian, I have no problem asking him, hey, what you doing this week? He's bored at home just cooking, and so I had to throw that in. But no, I do tease him quite a bit. In fact, I looked at Brother Danny and Brother Brian right before church. I said, hey, what you guys doing this week? And Brother Danny's like, I'm going to be sitting right by the fire. And so, so I get people have life to live. But I'm going to ask as your pastor that it's time that we roll up our sleeves and get the stuff done. You'll see in one passage that you can turn there, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 21. It says, so we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Sun up to sundown. Now, I know some of you, you're not up at sun up, okay? But still, they were laboring, and they were making themselves available. And so I'm going to ask that those in this church that are physically able, make themselves available to get some things done. I get not everyone's physically able, and so I encourage those of you in that situation to pray and maybe even be willing to prepare some meals or something for those that are getting things done and everything. Again, I understand we've got life to live and you've got responsibilities that need to get done at your place and everything. And so I know I'm asking a lot. And some of you might be sitting there going, well, yeah, you're asking for people to help take some of the weekly load off of you so you can focus on other things. And that is true. Because I do need to focus on some other things. Not all my time can be spent trying to get a leaf blower to run. Maybe that we're able to get some people's schedules lined up and have a day to be able to do certain things. It may be that, you know, you have an evening available and you say, hey, I can paint that wall. Great, come paint that wall. We've got lots of painting to be done. But I'm going to ask for the next several months that we have a mind to work. And I know that this church does, okay? I'm so thankful we've gotten a lot accomplished over the last bit. And I've been hesitating to ask too much. But again, it's just time for us to get it done. It's not just the projects. It's the things that must be done weekly. It's the getting involved in the community. It's the, hey, stepping up and helping fill when a need is done. And there are many ways that I've mentioned this morning that we can be involved, but the only way it's going to happen is if we say, all right, let's do it. And then we follow through and do it. So I want to remind you, we're not just getting all this stuff done because we have nothing better to do during the week. We're doing it for the glory of God. We're doing this so that we can provide a good place so that people can fellowship and they can be loved. I'm not going to belabor the fact. I'm not going to sit here and beg, but I'm asking those in the church to help get it done. We continue on, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. And I said unto the... I'm in chapter 4. I probably should jump back to chapter 2. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? And so we see that there were people criticizing and doubting. And listen, people in the area... We're criticizing and questioning the motives of what these people were doing. And that could very easily happen outside the walls of this church. It could very easily happen within the walls of this church, where there might be people doubting and criticizing and wondering what's going on. And I'm not saying it's absolutely wrong to question and to make sure what's happening is what God wants. But there are people that do so from the right attitude. But I also know there's some people out in the world that are always just going to be critical, and they're never going to have a positive thing to say. And we see how Nehemiah handles them. Look at verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. And so I want to remind you folks that as long as we are doing what God wants, God will prosper us. God's going to bless us. It's not up to us to prosper ourselves. It's up to God. And so if someone, Lord forbid, wants to be critical all the time and just wants to be sour about everything, then I'm sorry, this ministry is not going to be held back by negativity. We're going to continue forward for God. And my goal is to see what God can do here in Duncan, Oklahoma. So we see here, and we won't go through chapter 3, but they start to build, and they broke up in groups, everyone taking responsibility for their work. And we see they had some organization, and they put people in their proper places. And we're working on becoming a little more organized here and having some procedures in place for different things. Because I get it. Installing security cameras may not be your thing, but you might be able to cut down some trees or move some rocks or paint a wall. Different things. We can't all do the same thing, but we can spread out and get a lot accomplished. Of course, I will say this, and I already let a couple people know that this week's going to be cold. Probably won't be a whole lot of much going on this week. Tuesday, my wife and I are going to look for a new door for the nursery so we can get that set up, because I know we've got a lot of new babies coming in the church. And so sometimes a little privacy is needed in the nursery, so want to get that taken care of. And there are some projects here that I really would love to just hand off to somebody and say, you take it from start to finish. That would be a big help. But I encourage us not to dilly-dally and let's get it done. Chapter 4, they face more criticism. And I won't say much because they're going to face a lot of criticism as they go along. A lot of obstacles. It happens over and over again because not everyone wants to see a church grow. We might say we want to see a church grow, but we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. And honestly, sometimes we just get happy with the way things are. I remember a pastor I had when I was growing up. He had the church was running about $125,000 to $150,000. There was $300,000 in the building fund. And he made the statement to us teenagers. He said, I'm perfectly happy. I don't want the church to grow one person. Which I thought was dumb to tell a bunch of teenagers, because we were like, yeah, and we blabbed it to everybody. But that is not, I guarantee you, that is not my mentality. But I guarantee you, if a pastor can get that mentality, then those in the congregation can too. And again, it's not just about growing to grow. It's about seeing lives changed for the Lord. We've never pushed for numbers. We've never cared about numbers. God's going to bring who God's going to bring. We just want to see lives impacted. I struggled to know exactly where to put this in the message, but I'm just going to be very, very candid here. Now, again, I apologize for our visitors. This is not necessarily my typical message, but just where I'm led to go these couple weeks. Sometimes criticism and obstacles come through a lack of faith. We start to worry about, well, what if this or what if that? But listen, when I look through the Bible, the what ifs are really just negativity and a lack of faith. You know, could the bottom drop out of the church next week? It could. But do we not trust God to keep blessing as He's already been doing? It's just under the past 3 years that we've been here, and God has taken this church from about 10 people to now about 40 when everyone's healthy and feeling well. And I'm thankful for that. God gets all the glory for that. But I trust and have faith that He's going to continue to do that. It's going to be very easy to start to doubt and wonder if we're going to have the finances to be able to do everything that we want to do. And I've said it before. We want to be wise with that. We don't want to just spend every last dime we have. We don't want to drain the bank account. But God didn't bless us with what's in the account so we could just sit there and do nothing. I know some unethical things have been done in the past with the finances of this church. And I know that can cause skepticism. But God put the money in this church so that we could use it to further His work here. And so that we could love people and bring glory to Him. And I'm going to say this, and most of you know my heart. I would rather spend every dime we have trying to do the work of the Lord than have $100,000 in the bank and just live a comfortable life. That's not what it's there for. He blessed us so that we could take care of the things that need to be taken care of. You look at Solomon's temple, you read the description of it. It was the most beautiful building in the area. And we'll get to why that's important here in a minute. Unfortunately, some of what needs taken care of are things that should have really honestly been done with the money 5-10 years ago. So we're trying to, and we have been fixing things that were neglected, but through it all, we need to have faith that God's going to continue doing what He's been doing and that He'll provide as we push forward. Continuing on in Nehemiah chapter 4, they deal with more criticism, but they take that criticism to God in prayer. You will find that over and over and over again in the book of Nehemiah, that they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Listen, we can't control what people say or what they try to do, but we can control what we do about it. And that ought to be to take it to God in prayer. And so maybe you're worried about the finances or the future growth of this church, then take it to the Lord in prayer. That's where you got to start. Then look at chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And again, I know our church has a mind to work. I've always told people, okay, and not saying anything negative here, we are not the most musically inclined church, okay? We have some people that can sing and play the instruments, and I'm so thankful for that. We are very blessed in that area, but not all of us are itching to get up here and sing a special. Still waiting for a couple of you to do it, but Miss Dorothy. she was already back there shaking her head, so I had to pick on her. But I've always told people that may not necessarily be our strength, things like that, or teaching, things of that nature, but we've got a church that works. And I'm very thankful for that. But Satan will give us all sorts of excuses and place all sorts of obstacles in our way to discourage us or make sure that we don't get the job done. But listen, nothing gets accomplished if we just sit there and do nothing. The outside of the building doesn't get resealed. The walls don't get repaired or repainted. The nursery doesn't get watered to the sink if we don't put the effort in. They spend more time in prayer after more criticism in chapter 4, verse 9. Also, I said it is not good that ye do. I'm in chapter 5. Let's get to chapter 4. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night, because of them. So they started to take action to make sure that the work they were doing was protected. You find in chapter 4, verse 21, that they had spears and everything. Now, we don't need to do that, all right? We don't need spears and things of that nature. Brother Tim probably has no problem standing up here with his bow and making sure everything's protected. And we'll cover more of that idea next week, though. But once we get things taken care of, we've got to keep it taken care of. I love this, chapter 4, verse 10. I know I'm going long this morning, just bear with me. I've had a lot in my heart. Now, I told Ken, the hardest part is finding out where to plug what and what needs to be presented and everything. And I may be over-presenting, but this is how I'm led. Verse 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Guess what? There are times when you encounter problems in rebuilding. Not everything goes as smoothly as you want when you're rebuilding. We've encountered a lot of that here. Repairing the ladies' toilet, I ran into a lot of problems. When we did the kitchen, there was some issues and stuff. Yesterday, I was fixing a cabinet door in the nursery, and of course, the hinges on the cabinet were probably 20 years old, and so I couldn't find that exact style. So I had to I got a different hinge, and it moved the door, the cabinet door, just a little over. Well, there's some nice things. They're not like the nice cabinets in here. It's just a solid wood cabinet. So I just cut a half inch off the door and called it good, and it fits perfectly right now. But sometimes you encounter problems. What was supposed to be a 5-minute problem took an hour or so to deal with. So sometimes you run across those, and it's easy to get frustrated, but it's better just to keep plodding on and get the task done. I don't want us to miss this part. Look at verse 11 of chapter 4. "And our adversary said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease.' And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, 'From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you.'" So they've been 10 times their enemy comes up to them and says, "Hey, you're going to be in trouble here." Verse 13, "Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." Let me make sure I get where I'm going. Verse 14, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses.'" I want to remind you that we have to remember the reason we're doing this stuff. Number one, it's for the Lord. And then number two, it's so that people will have their lives changed and draw closer to the Lord. That's the reason we put the effort in here at church. They had a plan to move forward. And as we continue to move forward, there's going to be more planning, more organization. I don't want everything to become super professional. I know some churches where church members are just a number in a system. And I don't want that, because we're dealing with real people. Every person out here is a real person. Chapter 4, verse 20 says, "In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us." And so I want to remind you that God is on our side. So no matter what criticism, no matter what struggles or distractions we face, no matter how hard Satan fights against us, and I'm going to tell you this, if we're doing what God wants, Satan's going to fight against us. He doesn't want God's work to be continued. But God is on our side through all of that. We see that, of course, we already referenced a little bit verse 21, and you can read down to verse 23 where they work and give all their spare time. And Brother Mike, I'll get to the Haggai passage next week. We won't go there this week. But I just want to urge us to make God's house a priority in our life. In chapter 5, Nehemiah deals with a problem. And I love it. The passage says he consults with himself. and had to handle the situation. And there's going to be times that I've got to sit back and think about how we're going to proceed in an area. And I put some planning times on my calendar where I can just do some of those things, because I don't take leading this church lightly. Because it's not my church. It's God's church. Amen. And I try to be very cautious. I understand not everyone may agree with every little decision I make. But know that I don't make them lightly. Chapter 5, Nehemiah tries not to take advantage of the people and overburden them. And that is my goal. He tries not to overburden them financially either. I'm thankful for everything this church does for my family and I. And I pray that we have not been a burden to y'all. I'm very thankful for everything. They, in chapter 6, face some distracting opposition. But look at chapter 6, verse 3. They're being distracted. But verse 3, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after the sword, and I answered them after the same manner." Listen, when we're spending our time doing the work of the Lord and we're spending it trying to impact people's lives, that is time very well spent. We're not going to go wrong investing in the things of the Lord. But here's where I want to get to today. Chapter 6, verse number 15. You can read there in chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 that they strengthened their hands. They were afraid and they strengthened their hands. And I could say a lot about that, but I'm trying to be mindful here. I know I've already preached long. Verse 15. "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. They rebuilt the walls around an entire city in 52 days. Now, I'm not going to set some timetable like that, all right? I'm not. But again, it's one of those things. If you don't make it a priority, it just keeps getting placed off to the side and off to the side. So the goal, Lord willing, is we reach a point where we finish these projects and all we have to do is just maintain it. Again, more will be said about that next week. But they were able to step back and see what had been done. But I want you to notice it wasn't just them that saw the work, because look at the very next verse. Verse 16. "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our..." What's the next word? What they had done had been a testimony to everyone around them of how magnificent God was. And that should be our desire here. Again, we're not just trying to get some things marked off just because we've got nothing better to do. We are trying to work the ministry here and do things around here so that people end up giving God the glory because of it. I don't want us to sit back and pat ourselves on the back and go, "Yeah, look at all the good stuff we did." The only reason we're able to accomplish anything here is because God enables us to do it. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed. Next week, we'll finish up, Lord willing, this idea here in the book of Nehemiah, and then get into some topical style messages. Listen, I don't really have a dynamic conclusion here. If we could have the piano player come forward, I'm sure God's been working on some hearts. I hope He has been. And so if your heart hasn't been worked on, then maybe you need to question whether you're just here to warm up a chair, or you're here for yourself, or if you're here for the glory of God. As the piano plays this morning, however God's worked in your heart, I'll give you just a moment. There at your seat, down here at the altar, just do business with God. Respond to Him.